Yeah, we're developing free medical clinic programs. Matter of fact, I think we had begun to talk about that before the breakfast program got off the ground. However, due to the complexity of that and the problem that we're having nationwide with facilities, we're slow getting it off the ground. We have doctors on tap from coast to coast that are ready to go to work, but the big problem we're having is facilities. We do have one off the ground in Staten Island. Not only is there a free medical clinic operating, but the doctors that are volunteering their time, they also, when they have some hours, they actually walk through the community with their bags and actually just treat the people on the spot, in addition to allowing them to come to the free medical clinic. There's one that would be getting underway in Los Angeles. I was talking to the representatives when they were here for the conference, I believe, in September, and we're moving to implement that in all the branches and chapters across the country, just like the breakfast program. However, the one problem that...
One of the other basic programs that we kicked off, is we coordinated it, that is, put it together with the free breakfast. During the summer, we put an example forward. We got about three or four of them in the Bay Area now, and all the other chapters and branches are getting ready to move on them, what we call the Liberation Schools program, where we teach the kids about the class struggle and teach them also that it's not a race struggle, it's a class struggle. But they get free breakfast in the morning and free lunch at 12:30 or 1 o'clock when the Liberation Schools are out. We take in all ages and all children. My little boy, 3 years old, is in fact in there, and there's some other older children in the Liberation School. But the thing is that this is another basic socialistic program on the educational level, to be able to teach the children at the same time serve the children the same manner we serve them with the Breakfast for Children program while school was going on. In the wintertime, we will not cut out Liberation School, but we'll have a 1 hour every afternoon after regular school hours to teach the children in the Liberation School, but at the same time in the wintertime, we'll continue the free breakfast in the morning for the children. They're not serving the people, they're serving their own private self-interest by propagating that they're serving the people. All they're doing is selling the same gas for the same capitalists for the same price, and probably higher prices in many cases. We understand our struggle here in America to be linked with and be part and parcel of the people's world struggle. It's not separated. To sum this up, we say Huey P. Newton, as he said, we cannot send a care package, a tangible care package to the Vietnamese people or our brothers in Mozambique or our brothers in Southwest Africa, wherever they might be struggling against fascist imperialists. But we say that our only care package that we can send to them is resistance of this fascist that's spread it across the world and this imperialism. But at the same time, they can't send us a care package. Only care package they actually can send is their resistance. So the trading of that resistance against the real enemy, the real ruling class, the real fascists, the most reactionary aspects of reactionary imperialists and capitalists in the world, to resist them is a true care package, and we don't separate our struggle. It's a world struggle, it's a people struggle, and that's why we relate to our workers of the world, be you unemployed or employed, unite. You're talking about white radical would say that presently the role of the people in America here, the role of the revolutionaries in America here, is to go forth in some kind of coalition beginning and laying foundation for a futuristic solidarity. And this solidarity is going to be the basis by which we begin to create another Vietnam. Another Vietnam is in the brewing. Another Vietnam started from the black community before the Black Panther Party was organized, with all the black 200 and some odd black rebellions that occurred before the Black Panther Party was organized. The vanguard role of the Black Panther Party is in fact to create another Vietnam on a national scale. It is in fact to show the people the need to resist the ruling circles. It is in fact to understand that the word revolution is a very beautiful word, and is even more beautiful when implemented on a national scale. The Black Panther Party stated that what we need to create in America is an American Liberation Front. An American Liberation Front. It's going to take years to do this, but what needs to be done is to go forth with some practical, functional work opposing fascism in America, opposing the demagogy, opposing the terror, and understanding that to oppose the demagogy, to really oppose the terror and combat it, is to deal with the avaricious monopoly capitalists who put it forth. American Liberation Front is needed. We propose this in a large sense, but we are not going to do it superficially without any hard, functional work put forth by the revolutionaries in this country and other progressive organizations in this country.
Start what you were saying before over again, because we ran out on the last tape.
The black capitalists were invited to the United Front Against Fascism. They didn't even show up, which just goes to show that if they didn't come out against capitalism in the same manner that a lot of white liberals didn't come out against fascism, if they, black capitalists, didn't come out against fascism in the same manner that a lot of white liberals didn't come out against fascism, they themselves are just like a lot of the Jewish people during World War II when genocide was being committed. They didn't really knew what was happening but didn't come out and say it. They, in fact, are aids to existing fascism and allowing for fascism to exist in America. That was one of the first steps that they could have taken in developing the coalition.
Okay. Can you run down some of the differences in between cultural nationalism and revolutionary nationalism, how the what kind of means the cultural nationalists employ, you know, that don't move towards revolution, but rather just black capitalism or just reaction?
One of the things is that, to sum this up, is that the cultural nationalists don't deal with the real economics of black people's situation in the community by doing practical, functional, grassroots work in the community where you're feeding the people, where you're really teaching the people and trying to set up institutions in the community that serve the people, actually beginning to change the situation. Cultural nationalists don't do this because they believe, tend to superficially believe with a lot of metaphysical crap that political power comes out of the sleeve of a dashiki. Whereas the Black Panther Party, being revolutionary nationalists, are of necessity socialists. And this is dealing with a new economic system. This is beginning to teach the people what a new economic system of socialism would produce for the people. And black people understand practical examples that a revolutionary nationalist puts forth, and do not understand how a cultural nationalist can just run around and holler that they are black and they're beautiful and I'm doing my black thing, etc., and nothing is being concretely done and no sacrifices are being concretely made in the community, like, say, the Black Panther Party is doing, from our lives to our hard work and time. We don't even go to parties. The only party we go to is when we get ready to clean up the Ministry of Information. We call that a Panther Party. And we're not jiving out here, and the cultural nationalists are jiving. Two, that there's black capitalism that they play on, such as trying to sell black people in the black community our $45 dashikis, and in doing, telling the same lie that the capitalists tell, saying it come from Africa, when we know we can go to the local or cheap market where materials are sold and the same color of materials is printed by that same capitalist. It's just got another design on it. Well, political power does not come out of the barrel of a dashiki, it comes out of the barrel of a gun. And we understand that being in the community on a practical level, dealing and serving our people in the black community, that the people relate to this more and they relate to examples more of what can serve them and what doesn't serve them.
So then the role of cultural nationalism in a capitalist state serves to further reinforce and support that capitalist and imperialist state.
Not only that, the role of a black nationalist in America and a black capitalist, they're kind of one and the same. Serves the very existing state not only on the level of perpetuating and trying to maintain this very capitalistic system that brought us over here and robbed us of all everything we produce from our labor, forced it to do so by their fascist tactics, but black capitalism and cultural nationalism, basically one and the same, serves the fascists. They're easily bought out by the CIA-controlled poverty monies or the government-controlled poverty monies, etc., for special little jobs to go around propagating how beautiful black is and then turn around and sell a lot of Coca-Cola and a lot of other the produced goods that the big-time capitalists put on the market in the quantity of millions, you know, that black people are supposed to buy. and then they call this economic power. This is not an economic power. This is a few of bourgeoisie, petty bourgeoisie-minded fools who are think that black is beautiful and have no understanding of what a nation is and how a nation must move to oppose the very system that exists. You know, they'll probably praise the moon, you know, but they ain't got sense enough to see that the pigs will take all the black people of the surplus here and go and enslave black people on the moon, you know. And the pig will tell the nigger, say, nigger, don't take 400 years this time, you know. And this is the way we see that. And they have to understand that the system is trying to perpetuate itself, and they're the ones that's being used, and they have to come down off that ladder and get on a real revolutionary program and be revolutionaries first.
They also serve the status quo, the power structure, the capitalists, by propagating that madness that is a race struggle rather than a class struggle. And they perpetuate that racism that is a tool of the present power structure, keeping all the oppressed people divided and fighting one another on the basis of their ethnic group, rather than allowing them or pointing out to them that this is just a tool of the power structure, keeping you divided and fighting each other, rather than forming a united front to deal with the situation.
What is the economic base and importance of the unemployed black brothers? You know, the lumpen proletariat or whatever. Like, people say that black people don't eat chitlins and sing the blues just because they dig it, but because that's the kind of economic situation that they were thrust into.
The importance of these, the brothers is the lumpen proletariat, and the clear importance here in America today is that they're the vanguard of the revolutionary struggle in America. Whereas in the past, Marx didn't see this, Lenin didn't see the lumpen proletariat, but it would probably blow his mind today to see the lumpen proletariat running around leading the struggle. But that all in itself just shows that Marxist-Leninism is a very progressive ideology in terms of producing the correct guide to action, that it can happen in terms of mankind's human development, you know. And that's exactly what's happened. The importance is that this black brother refuses to work for the capitalistic man system. He'd rather run his own thing down in the sense of an individual. But once he becomes organized with a progressive and a correct ideology and putting it into practice, because he is a practitioner, the lumpen proletariat, then one can begin to see the validity. He is the vanguard. And that's what the Black Panther Party is composed of, the lumpen proletariat on the block who refuse to work for the capitalists but want to get organized to do something, to put something forth for his people to survive.
Well, then, and how does that fit into the future strategy? What role do you see black workers, per se, playing in the revolution, and how is the party going to relate to them, and what it will be the role of them in the revolution as we move forward? I mean, do you see making a conscious effort to organize more workers, is that being a prerequisite for the revolution, and then would they then play a vanguard role, or do you see the lumpen is continuing to play that vanguard role?
I see the lumpen is playing this vanguard role quite a long ways in the revolutionary struggle, because they're not going to treat people, especially once they get a hold of that correct ideology, unjustly as the ruling class has treated people in terms of jobs and employment and the right to survive. Such as when Huey P. Newton says, when he first started the organization, and he hated to work for the capitalists, but he always knew the just thing to do was understand this point, and I quote him, every human being on the face of this earth has a right to live. Therefore, he has a right to work, because he must be able to work to live. This is what I'm talking about. Huey P. Newton is the epitome of the lumpen proletariat from the block.
What distinction would you make between working class and lumpen in the black community, then? Or would you make a distinction?
We're all workers. We look more at the working class, organizing the working class in America, not the just those who are employed in the factories. We say the workers are both those employed and unemployed.
Right, so then could you sort of wrap that up into what that means in terms of the... You make no distinction between the employed and the unemployed, so everyone's a worker. Therefore,
I do make a distinction One's employed and one's unemployed. We said every human being has a right to work.
has a right to live, therefore he has a right to work, because he must be able to work to live. Black people are trying to live. The lumpen proletariat of black people is trying to show and point out the correct way of people being able to have such a right to live, such a right to work so they can live. But we understand the need for developing a new system where, in fact, this actually happens, to make the socialistic ideal a reality. This is the objective. Because the reality that we've been suffering under is, in fact, the degradation, the unemployment, the suffering, the oppression, the murder that they commit against us when we do try to survive and live as individuals. But now we're organized, and I see them playing a very significant role in terms of futuristically. I make a distinction in the sense that when we organize, when we make the distinction about one being employed and one unemployed, but when we organize people, we don't leave out our unemployed people like some organizations do. They only want to focus in on the factory worker. The factory worker might be too plugged into the system to move against the system. So it's going to take maybe the unemployed who wants some work, who knows he has a right to live, to jolt that employed worker initially with some ideology and some correct understanding as to how he's got to support his unemployed brother. You know what I mean? Moving it from a lower to a higher level, see? And in terms futuristically, we don't have no blueprint for a revolution. We don't propagate to have that. But I'm saying that the significance of that black brother, that unemployed black brother, is the fact that the unemployed brother leads the revolutionary struggle. He has a greater reason to lead it and make sure that it's done right.
Well, in terms of like a further a furthering of the strategy, moving to a higher level, would you see that it would be necessary, like for black workers to be quitting, or for workers to be quitting working in the factories, or to be taking over those factories? I mean, to leave the means of production, or to begin to try to take means of production into their own hands, and start using it for the people.
To call a general strike would only be a tactic, you know. It would only be a tactic in terms of how you try to hinder the ruling class's means of production. But to call a general strike as a tactic would be leading up naturally to controlling the means of production by the masses of the people. And we don't delete the lumpen proletariat of the white organization. We respect more and more now the young patriots out of Chicago as being the vanguard of the poor oppressed white masses and the working class, because the lumpen proletariat of the white masses, the poor cats from the Appalachians, what have you, can better place forth the need, because they suffer more than those workers and middle class white workers who are plugged into the system. They can better exemplify it in the same manner that black people across the country are better exemplifying to the masses throughout the nation what the problem is.
Well, Marx, the key role that the working class played was because they understood discipline, they were organized, and they also had the power to physically stop the system, to shut it down. Now, what is the power that the lumpen has, and how do they fit in shutting the system down?
To teach the workers how to shut the system down. Use the correct method of how to do it, because they can best exemplify and have more of an understanding of the fact that it needs shutting down, because they've been suffering more.
What kind of program do you have specifically for organizing black workers? Besides showing them that the lumpen is the vanguard, I mean, like, can you like talk about some of the differences between the drum in Detroit and the way the Panthers would be organizing, like in the UAW and, you know, the bus drivers caucus and things like that?
We think that if a black racist union starts, that a black racist union separates itself from the masses of the workers, we think that black caucuses within unions can better exemplify what the problem is and better teach the rest of the workers how to deal with the ruling class avaricious businessman who owns the factory. You see? This is the difference. We think that saying that I'm a separate independent union is wrong, and it's propagating, or it's not propagating, it's adulterating Marxist-Leninism. This is very important in terms of the working class. We say that black people are a union of unemployed workers. And those who are employed must bring forth the problems and oppression that all of black people suffer to all the workers. And those unemployed whites must bring forth the problems that poor whites suffer and Mexican Americans and what have you.
Okay. In what way does the Breakfast for Children program serve the people? How does it exemplify, you know, a socialist, a programmatic way to revolution? You know, in like, can you give us some facts on it? Like, you know, how many programs are there? How many kids it feeds across the country? And, you know, relate to the starvation of black people to the starvation of all peoples.
All right. The Breakfast for Children wound up to time school was out for the summer, feeding 15,000 children across the nation.
15?
It went to 15. I got all the reports on it. It went to 15. 15,000.
Doing 10,000 itself.
No, 3,000. And listen, what's his name? Breadbasket started feeding some children. Okay. No, Chicago was only doing it. No, in a 5-month period of time, it rose to 15,000 children being fed. That's all the reports.
Talk a little bit about the breakfast program.
Well, the Breakfast for Children program that spread it across the country. In a 5-month period, we were feeding the Black Panther Party alone some 15,000 children. Well, a few other organizations got a hold of it, and I don't know how many they were feeding, such as Operation Breadbasket in Chicago. But the Breakfast for Children program, the revolutionary program. Most people want to say it's a reform program. But what they don't understand is that reform programs are placed forth by the capitalistic ruling class, and revolutionary programs are placed forth by the revolutionary peoples or revolutionary organizations in the People's Revolutionary Camp. Reform programs are not to trick the people, it's to serve the people. I mean, reform programs are to trick the people, not serve the people, and revolutionary programs are to serve the people and not trick the people. This is very important to understand, that we were changing the situation regardless of how minute and how small it was and how small it was when it started. Once the people see a basic example of what socialism is to produce, of what the revolutionary organizations say what socialism is to produce, then there's no rhetoric and there's no argument. There's no foolish, misconceived misunderstandings about I'm scared of communism or this. They actually, in fact, see an example of a socialistic program serving them. And this is the best way, in fact, to teach the people, besides education of political cadres and mass community meeting education programs, etc.
Can you talk about the role?
Do you see any other programs developing, other examples of socialistic programs which would be used to teach the people? Could you talk about that?
Yeah, we're developing free medical clinic programs. Matter of fact, I think we had begun to talk about that before the breakfast program got off the ground. However, due to the complexity of that and the problem that we're having nationwide with facilities, we're slow getting it off the ground. We have doctors on tap from coast to coast that are ready to go to work, but the big problem we're having is facilities. We do have one off the ground in Staten Island. Not only is there a free medical clinic operating, but the doctors that are volunteering their time, they also, when they have some hours, they actually walk through the community with their bags and actually just treat the people on the spot, in addition to allowing them to come to the free medical clinic. There's one that will be getting underway in Los Angeles. I was talking to the representatives when they were here for the conference, I believe, in September, and we're moving to implement that in all the branches and chapters across the country, just like the breakfast program. However, the one problem that we're having is slowing us down is one of facility.
One of the other basic programs that we kicked off, we coordinated it, that is, put it together with the free breakfast. During the summer, we put an example forth. We got about 3 or 4 of them in the Bay Area now, and all the other chapters and branches are getting ready to move on them, what we call the Liberation Schools program, where we teach the kids about the class struggle and teach them also that it's not a race struggle, it's a class struggle. But they get free breakfast in the morning and free lunch at 12:30 or 1 o'clock when the Liberation Schools are out. We take in all ages and all children. My little boy, 3 years old, is in fact in there, and there's some other older children in the Liberation School.
But the thing is that this is another basic socialistic program on the educational level, to be able to teach the children at the same time, serve the children in the same manner we serve them with the Breakfast with Children program while school was going on. In the wintertime, we will not cut out liberation school, but we'll have a 1 hour every afternoon after regular school hours to teach the children liberation school, but at the same time in the wintertime, we'll continue the free breakfast in the morning for the children and hope that it spreads 100, 200, 300,000, a million, not only in the black community, but also throughout from the black community throughout other ethnic and minority groups and brown, Mexican-American, Latino people, Chicano people.
Can you talk a little bit about the role of cultural nationalism in capitalism? Specifically in terms of, like, in Los Angeles, there are standard stations, Rockefeller standard stations being run by the cultural nationalist groups down in L.A.
Well, it's just showing how cultural nationalism is easily co-opted by the fascist pig power structure. If you'll notice, most cultural nationalists and black capitalists want to work with the reform programs that the capitalistic fascist regime puts forth, and do not want to work with revolutionary programs that the revolutionary peoples who are opposed to this regime puts forth. This is very significant in how you begin to identify them, and we hope the people begin to see how to identify them. Whether or not the particular program that they have is being financed by the federal government, whether or not it's being financed by the actual avaricious monopoly capitalists, because they are easily turned into fascist activity, such as the way the US organization murdered our brothers, revolutionary brothers, our apprentice Bunchy Carter, Deputy Minister of Defense of Southern California, and Brother John Huggins, Deputy Minister of Information of Southern California. And they were used by the fascist regime in this manner to protect their business, capitalistic business enterprises. That's not even a reform program. That's just making some capitalists out of some cultural nationalists. And this is the way we see it, and this is the way we understand it, that they're not serving the people. They're serving their own private self-interest by propagating that they are serving the people. All they're doing is selling the same gas for the same capitalists for the same price, and probably higher prices in many cases.
Okay. Can you talk about the relationship of the black liberation movement with the international liberation struggle, like Vietnam, Mozambique, Africa, the international struggle of imperialism and capitalism?
Well, we can sum a lot of this up with respect to the cultural nationalists, the black nationalists, with respect to even taco nationalists. We don't even go for that amongst the Chicano people. They shouldn't allow themselves to be used with poverty funds, etc. But when we talk about it, we summarize it like this. We say we won't fight fire with fire because the best way to fight fire, and every proletarian person knows it, not only here in America but across the world, the best way to fight it is with water. We say we fight racism not with more racism, but we fight racism with solidarity. Solidarity is that real water that's needed. We don't fight capitalism with more capitalism. We fight capitalism with socialism and exemplifying socialistic programs so that the people can learn what socialism is about. We don't fight our imperialism with more imperialism. We fight imperialism with proletarian internationalism. We don't fight fascism with more fascism. We fight fascism with practical programs and a united people and a united front of people from solidarity, opposing what capitalism has put forth, how capitalism maintains the oppression that we live in. We understand our struggle here in America to be linked with and be part and parcel of the people's world struggle. It's not separated. To sum this up, we say Huey P. Newton, as he said, we cannot send a care package, a tangible care package to the Vietnamese people or our brothers in Mozambique or our brothers in Southwest Africa, wherever they might be struggling against fascist imperialists. But we say that our only care package that we can send to them is resistance of this fascist that spread it across the world and this imperialism. But at the same time, they can't send us a care package. Only care package they actually can send is their resistance. So the trading of that resistance against the real enemy, the real ruling class, the real fascists, the most reactionary aspects of reactionary imperialists and capitalists in the world, to resist them is a true care package.
and we don't separate our struggle. It's a world struggle. It's a people struggle, and that's why we relate to we're workers of the world. Be you unemployed or employed, unite.
Well, then, do you see the struggle here fitting into what Che Guevara called for when he said creating 2-3 mini Vietnams, in that the struggle here being to create our own Vietnam within the internal, within the mother country?
Are you talking about white radicals creating a Vietnam in the mother country?
And the role of white and the role of black also.
I would say that presently the role of the people in America here, the role of the revolutionaries in America here, is to go forth in some kind of coalition beginning and laying foundation for a futuristic solidarity. And this solidarity is going to be the basis by which we begin to create another Vietnam. Another Vietnam is in the brewing. Another Vietnam started from the black community before the Black Panther Party was organized, with all the black 200 and some odd black rebellions that occurred before the Black Panther Party was organized. The vanguard role of the Black Panther Party is in fact to create another Vietnam on a national scale. It is in fact to show the people the need to resist the ruling circles. It is in fact to understand that the word revolution is a very beautiful word, and is even more beautiful when implemented on a national scale.
Okay, well then, what about, could you relate this to the formation of this American Liberation Front, and how you see all of that taking place?
The Black Panther Party stated that what we need to create in America is American Liberation Front. An American Liberation Front, it's going to take years to do this, but what needs to be done is to go forth with some practical functional work opposing fascism in America, opposing the demagogy, opposing the terror, and understanding that to oppose the demagogy, to really oppose the terror and combat it, is to deal with the avaricious monopoly capitalists who put it forth. American Liberation Front is needed. We propose this in a large sense, but we're not going to do it superficially without any hard functional work put forth by the revolutionaries in this country and other progressive organizations in this country.
In the film that LA Newsreel is making on cultural nationalism, they're trying to create a link between the death of Malcolm X and between Bunshi and John, in saying that it was a political murder, that as Malcolm, Lumumba, and Che, and they're especially similar to Malcolm, because they're representing and preaching many of the things that Malcolm was talking about after he came back from Africa, and that US represents a corrupt and corruption and racism when it moves from religious and cultural spheres into the political and economic spheres, and taking terms of trying to take control of the community. You want to comment on that?
Contradictions exist amongst different organizations, and this was key in the United Front, that we didn't want to have a bunch of ideological haggling, but to place for some practical work that had to be done, some functional work that had to be done. When the contradictions go to the point that a particular organization contradictions with organizations or group of people who's trying to serve the people becomes antagonistic, then he is in turn then in the camp of the enemy. That is very important, such as PL beating up three or four, well, it was more than three or four, a number of white people, beating up a number of white SDSers, people related to that organization back in New York 3 weeks before the UFAF conference. Such as also they beat up a black cat and said the reason they beat him up with clubs, they had clubs, was because they thought he was a Black Panther Party member. Now, what happens here is that the said contradictions between one organization and another, once those contradictions become antagonistic to the fact that an organization attacks other organizations, then those other organizations who are in the Revolutionary People's Camp must defend themselves against them, because they've chosen the side of the enemy.